Okay, good evening, everybody. I'd like to call this meeting to order, February 20th, 2024, regular session of the Parks and Recreation Advisory meeting at 6 o'clock sharp. If you wish to address the commission on any agenda item today, including call to audience, please fill out a blue speaker card found on the agenda table over there. As the agenda item comes up, I will invite you to speak at the proper time. Okay. Next item is the Department on Current Affairs.
We've got to do roll call. My apologies. Vice Chair Temple.
Here.
Board Member Landau. Board Member Moodhart.
Here.
Board Member Saletta.
Here.
Board Member Varies is absent and excused. Board Member Weisberger.
Here.
And Board Member Orzella.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, sorry.
Next item is the Department Report on Current Events. Roz Epting will report.
Hi, everybody. I'm Roz Epting, your Parks and Recreation Director. I'm just going to give you a few updates on what's going on in the department. So right now, our department is heavily involved in the 50th anniversary planning. We have a parade scheduled for the 6th of April, and we are still looking for more entries on that. We have the Celebrate OV Community event on April 13th. So that is an event that starts at noon, and at 9:30 p.m. we'll be blowing off fireworks, and that is at JDK. We're also going to have a community tree planting on April 27th, so we'll have a call going out to residents to come and help, and you'll see that as it comes out. And there's going to be additional activities throughout the year for the 50th, and all of those, as they come up, we'll be letting all of you know. Also, later on the agenda, we have an item for all of you on the board to make a decision how involved you want to be in the 50th and if you want to be involved in the parade or not. So we'll talk about that as we get to it. Naranja Park, I was just out there this afternoon for a meeting. We're moving along very quickly with that. We're looking for a spring opening. All of the shade sails are up on the splash park. We've got plumbing being worked on. The pump track is laid out and down, and we're still working on some minor details over there and working on the skate park. So everyone's aware, on March 4th and 5th, Naranja is a complete closure those 2 days of March. On the 6th, we will open the north entrance, which is the one off of Tangerine only. If you come off of Naranja, you can only access the archery range, okay? And that's going to be for about a month and a half. And we are currently planning for a grand opening, and all of the board members will be notified of that grand opening, and we hope to see you there that day. Community and Recreation Center memberships, we are now offering silver sneakers at the CRC. So that goes on top of the Renew Active and Silver and Fit, which are both through the healthcare system, through their insurance. They get a free classic membership. We have a new sign at Steam Pump Ranch. So that was put in with funding from the Santa Cruz National Heritage Alliance. It discusses ranching and indigenous people from the area. So we're looking at a very quick turnaround on a ribbon cutting for that. So we will let all of you know when that comes up. And last but not least, our projects we're working on. We have two shade structures going up right now over at the CRC for our pickleball courts. Honeybee Trail restroom building, we're fixing the roof right now. Vistoso ADA restrooms, we have two restrooms. There's two different buildings, and there's a restroom on each side. So each of those will be ADA accessible. And then we are also in the middle of the elevator project at the CRC. And that concludes my report. Thanks.
Okay, the next item is call to audience. I will now open that. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual board members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. The board may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during the call to audience. The cards, are there any more to be handed in? I have three. Okay, I'll start calling them in. For the record, please say your name, and if you are a town resident, We'll try to adhere to the three-minute rule. And when there's any more, I'll let you all know. First guy, Richard Surreal. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Sir Rick, I think I put down for trails, speak on the trails.
There should only be the one to the call to the audience here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tony D'Angelo.
Wherever you're comfortable.
Wherever, okay.
Yep, and I have a timer. And maybe good.
Okay. Thank you, Parks and Rec Advisory Commission. My name is Tony D'Angelo. I am an Oral Valley resident and the president of the Friends of Push Ridge Golf. We appreciate all the support we received restoring Push Ridge Golf to a popular and successful town recreational asset. During the process, we've learned a lot. The town has an enviable collection of park and recreational facilities, and they all deserve investment, care, and management. Along the way, we came to appreciate that most facilities not only serve residents, but they also attract and serve tourists. Tourists to Oro Valley include not only those people staying a few days in our resorts and hotels, but also our seasonal residents, whether they utilize short-term rentals or own second homes. Together, these groups bring significant outside revenues to the town and its small businesses. It is in our best interest to manage and merchandise our park and recreational assets to serve both these tourist groups. First, we need to make it as easy as possible to discover our facilities. Unlike many similar communities, Oro Valley's town website does not offer a homepage link to visitors looking for information about the recreational benefits available. Most of the merchandising is directed at full-time residents. The town also has limited signage along its highways and walking paths to help tourists find our parks and recreational facilities. For example, unless you're staying at the El Conquistador Resort, you would never know about Push Ridge Golf or tennis facilities driving down Oracle Road. Second, to create value and a lasting impression to encourage returns and referrals, it is important to manage and maintain all of these assets to the town's, quote, community of excellence standard. Oro Valley is a special community with extraordinary natural beauty. Unfortunately, there are lots of weeds and poorly maintained facilities. Our parks and recreational assets need to be maintained at a standard consistent with our natural surroundings. This means everything matters: marketing, supervision, landscaping, cleaning, and repairs. I know you have a big job and limited resources to maintain everything. However, it is my belief that investing more to serve both residents and tourists will provide vital tax revenues. Thank you.
Okay. Next, we have the council liaison report.
Close the public hearing for the record.
Later.
Close this particular public hearing for the call to audience. You opened it. Now we need to close it so that the minutes are.
We will close
accurate.
This. To, Thank you. Need a second on it, Joe. You need a second.
Nope. You can just close it. Just say it out loud.
People will close the speaker cards for the moment. Right now, call to audience will be closed. Next one we have is a council liaison report with Councilperson Joyce Jones Ivey. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I want to welcome everybody, particularly our residents this evening. Council report, you know, we have probably four or five council meetings before I have an opportunity to come before you and present a council report. So tonight I'm going to just streamline down to what I feel has been really important.
Can I close this? We can't hear.
No, ma'am, that'll lock the door, and this is a public meeting. I'm sorry.
You can't hear me? I'm sorry. My voice is very, very soft.
I know, but the traffic is going by out there, and that's why we can't hear you.
Okay, it might help if I stand up.
There you go. That's better. Thank you.
In January, Council approved a zoning change to enable mobile food court units as a conditional use in our commercial districts. I'm sure you're aware that we did not approve the development of the Avila East-West properties near the Safeway Shopping Center. February, we approved to continue the operation of the Bush Ridge Golf Course with emphasis on efforts to make the course water smart by decreasing water use as possible. On the 16th, Council had a retreat, and we did cover many topics, but the one that I felt that was very, very important was the water presentation by our Director of Water Utility, Peter Abraham. Peter reassured us that the town has enough water for now and for the near future, but it's important that we do look at ways to ensure that water supply for the future. And one of the projects that we have going, and I don't know how many of you have heard, and we call it NERDS, but it's the Northwest Recharge and Recovery and Delivery System. It's a partnership that we're in with Metro Water and the City of Marana. So that is a project that we've already started. He gave us an update on it, what the future of that is going to look like for the town. But he reassures us that this is one way for us to ensure an adequate water supply. And I don't want to minimize the importance of water conservation. So if you are not a part of WaterSmart, I would encourage you to go online and sign up for WaterSmart because it tells you how much your water usage is. The nice thing I like about it, too, is that if there is anywhere where you might have water wastage going on, and I'll give you a perfect example. One of my drip systems broke and just was spewing water, and I wasn't aware of it. I did get an alert for the town letting me know that there was excessive water use compared to what I normally use, so it made me get out and start looking around the property, and I did find the wastage. I want to invite all of you. Tomorrow night is going to be council meeting again, and though there's no regular session, we are going to have a study session on our comprehensive economic development strategy. And last but not least, I want to invite all of you to volunteer for Project Grad.
For what?
Project Grad. Project Grad is the annual event that our graduates have here in Oral Valley. It's a big event that is normally at CDO, and I believe it's at Ironwood Ridge also. But they need volunteers, and those volunteers have to come from us. So I'm asking you all, please let's support our young people in having a safe grad night. This is, I think, about our 19th year or maybe our 20th year. I'm not real sure. Don't hold me to the anniversary. But
it's the 21st.
We have to get involved with our young people to make sure, again, that they have a safe, exciting grad night, and we don't lose anyone. And I can tell you, in the number of years that we've been doing it, we have not lost one graduating teen on grad night. So the theme this year happens to be from New Orleans, and Saturday from 9 to noon, you can volunteer. They're encouraging you to wear your paint clothes. And it's going to be located, again, at CDO in the
T-Building basement, and it's from 9 to noon. And I'm just going to encourage all of you, please, let's give our teens some time and some love and care. Thank you. Well, now, wait, don't, I don't want, it is this Saturday.
It is.
And they have workshops twice, I believe it's the second and the fourth. It's the second and fourth Saturdays. So if you can't make it this Saturday, we've got March 9th, March 23rd, April 13th, and April 27th. CDO in the basement and building T. And they always start at 9 to noon. Thank you.
Thank you, Joyce. Before we get into the regular session, I would like to introduce two new members of the advisory board, Michael Weisberger and Megan Borzella. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yeah, we got it.
Okay. Both these folks come to the advisory board with a lot of unique experiences, and I believe they're going to be invaluable to the issues coming up before this board. Welcome, board.
Thank you.
Okay, number one item on the regular session is review and approval of the November 14th, 2023 regular session meeting minutes.
Move approval.
I move to approve with changes November 14th, 2023 meeting minutes. May I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. It passes. Okay, number two on the regular session. Selection of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board Chair. We hold these elections at the first meeting of every calendar year. The offices change at the following meeting. If the nomination is uncontested, there will be a regular vote. If there is more than one person, there will be a roll call vote. I'd like to open nominations for Chair of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Please keep in mind we will need a second for a person to be added. Phil.
I move to nominate Gary Temple for Chair.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussions? Any? Okay, it's on this, can we have a yay if positive? May I hear something?
Are we going yay, to vote?
Yay. Yay. All in favor?
All
aye.
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 Thank you.
Next one would be the advisory board will have Parks and Recreation vice chair. I'd like to open nominations for vice chair of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Please keep in mind we will need a second for a person to be added to the ballot. I take the liberty of nominating Joanne, help me with the last name.
Muhart
as vice chair. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. The ayes carry it. Okay. Next sessions, number four, is one that I think is going to have a lot of discussion this evening. That's discussion of possible action to recommend that council approve the Vistosa Trails Nature Preserve and its impact on the future Vistosa Trails Nature Preserve Master Plan. George Radnovich, a consultant of Sites Southwest, is going to be joining us in this discussion.
Well, can you click the meeting?
Yeah.
questions? Can you show me? I have questions. How much do you want to give George? Can you verify George really quick? I have to get my colleagues.
Yeah. Sorry, guys, hang on for one moment, please.
Mr. Chair, when you're dealing with cards, because this group doesn't get cards very often, generally you'll have the presentation, then you'll ask for the people to give their comments, and then everybody else can have all their discussion, then you can incorporate whatever comes out of those comments, just so you feel comfortable with the process.
Sorry, guys. Technical difficulties.
The button he told me to share screen, and it didn't share screen. It took it away. And now I have no screen, which is not good. There we go. Okay. It's just, I guess,
we
it's
have
just
something.
The recording device. Yeah. I think it's just slow to come back up. Oh.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. Don't touch anything. Well, don't touch anything. That's me included.
There you go. See there.
All right. Are you, that's what can you hear us, George? George, can you hear us?
I can.
And
can
we
hear
can
me?
Hear you, yes.
Don't touch the button again. He's
what
already
is that? I'm not touching that button. He told me to push this one to share screen, but now I'm scared.
You want to be scared.
Introduce yourself.
It'll be okay. And,
if you would like, thank you, George. If you would like to start talking and introduce yourself, please go ahead. I'm going to figure this out.
Sure. So my name's George Radnovich. I see a lot of familiar faces in the audience and at the Parks Board meeting. And I am here to talk about some updates and then also present some of the results from the surveys that were conducted in the last 2 weeks. The survey results from the second survey, which was a community-wide survey, we didn't get until late yesterday, so I don't have a really strong analysis of that results yet, but we'll have that. But it looked really well attended, both of those surveys, so it's awesome. Let me share my screen. Okay.
Perfect.
And let me pull up my presentation. Can you see that?
Yes.
Okay, let me put it in presentation mode. Oh, you're not going to be able to see that one. How do I do that? Sorry, hold on. Sorry. I think my screens are turned around. So I, let's see here. Try that one more time. It looks like you're seeing my preview screen. Is that correct?
Yes.
I don't know how to change that, so I hope that's okay. Is that big enough for everyone?
You just had it big.
Go back to what you were doing, George. It was big. Go back one step.
There you go.
Just scroll through your slides from there, George. It'll work better.
Okay, that's what I'll do. All right. Well, thank you for having me tonight. I'm looking forward to giving you some updated information. The presentation will be relatively short. I tried to keep it to about 10 minutes so we could talk. What I'll have in the presentation is the master plan and where it's come from the beginning of the first draft of the master plan to today. Then we'll talk about the survey. And as you probably know, there were two surveys. One was for the Friends of Vistoso Trails, and the other was a community-wide survey in all of Oro Valley. We haven't really started to prioritize yet, but I do have some costs that we can go over at a very high level, and then we can discuss the project after that. So the reason for this meeting is to kind of update you. I know there's a few new members to the PRAP, and I'll give you a little update of where we've been and then talk about that survey a bit. Very interesting results so far. So this is an illustrative master plan, and this is the very first master plan that we released. The master plan had lots of public meetings, and there was lots of discussion with the community about it. But in the very beginning, we had a whole system of walking trails and biking trails, including some loops and ADA trails. We had areas for wildlife viewing in quite a few places. We had talked about connecting the trails to the overall trail system of the town of Oro Valley. There were dispersed parking areas placed around the site. Hold on 1 second. Oh, can you see my cursor?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. There was a parking area up here, a parking area near the maintenance yard over here, and another parking area up by the former driving range. Those have all been reduced and disappeared, actually. Providing directional signage, which is still on the docket. Repurposed the old pond, and that's this area right here, for wildlife viewing, habitat, and education, and to provide family gatherings at the old pond. There were also ideas to repurpose the driving range to include educational gardens. And you can kind of see those in this illustration right here on the right. There were also, because of the school, at the far south end of Vistoso Trails, we also wanted to provide some educational opportunities down across the street from the school down here. Interpretive opportunities such as dark sky viewing was on the master plan at first, and that was going to take place in the driving range area right here. We wanted to address some areas of safety for the cart trail, the old cart trail that's got some issues, as you know, to create some water features for habitat, which would really be wildlife drinkers, or would have been wildlife drinkers. We may still have those in the proposal for Vistoso Trails for the nature preserve. Also to reestablish native vegetation, provide some shade, and then also establish operations and management protocols. That was because the Conservation Association was a partner in the preserve, and now, of course, they're no longer a partner in the preserve. So this is a much simplified plan. It reduced quite a bit from the very first or the early master plan that I just showed you. And this is the most current, but it doesn't include anything from the surveys that we've just recently conducted. So we want to have all of those surveys done before we make changes to the plan and then discuss those changes with the town of Oro Valley and with you again at future public meetings. So the existing cart path will become the preserve nature trail. That is the kind of gold color trail that you see on this line right here. It will be maintained as the main trail in the preserve. I've done some research in the past month or so, and there's some new ADA requirements that are quite different than the old ones for projects like the Nature Preserve. So originally, even with this document, with this newest document, we were going to have a ADA trail from the parking lot over here on Rancho Vistoso Drive over to where the pond used to be. And we were going to have another ADA trail from the parking lot off of the Highlands Drive down to basically this area right here near the driving range. According to the new guidelines for ADA, for nature preserves, trails, and other kinds of like open space projects, there are much different requirements for ADA. And actually, if we fix the cart path, if we repair the cart path where it's been overtaken by the washes in the preserve, where it's all cracked and crumbled, and some of the other areas, I believe there are about 40 areas that would need to be repaired, we will likely meet most of the Americans with Disabilities Act in these new requirements that have been put out there. So very good news for the town and for all of you as residents. There'll be a staged revegetation strategy over quite a few years because of the amount of acreage that we're dealing with. There'll be four parking lots, one shared use parking lot. That may change as well, but right now, the parking lots are here, here off of Kenyatta, and then down by the school, and it's actually a shared use parking lot across the street from the preserve. There would be shade structures. There would be wildlife viewing structures. The pond would be a less water intensive pond, and we gave three options for how that pond might be rethought, and we're still at that point. So once we get all these surveys in again, all of these ideas will be revisited. The driving range node is now purely a trail. The two outdoor classrooms do remain in the southernmost part of the preserve, and there are wildlife drinkers or would-be wildlife drinkers throughout the whole preserve. So that's where we are currently, but that's prior to all of the modifications and changes that we've been talking about and surveying you about as part of this new phase of the project. So the first survey I'm going to go over is the survey of the Friends. Quite a few people responded to this survey. Almost 600 people responded. This is some of the rankings that we received from the survey. And as you can see, people in the Vistoso Friends of Vistoso Trails Preserve survey had a pretty evenly sort of oriented idea for what should be improved. You can see almost everything should be improved on this list. But the top five became one, cart path repairs, and that's this kind of salmon-colored bar right here. It got the most votes. The re-envisioning the pond and redesigning the pond, which is shown on this sort of teal color bar, and also this kind of sagey green color bar. So those are both related to the pond. And one is kind of repurposing it and rethinking it, and the other is really kind of just taking down the bulkheads. The third rating is to reseed and revegetate all the interstitial spaces. And I couldn't come up with a better word than interstitial, but what I meant by that is all of the spaces that are not tees, greens, and fairways of the old golf course. Excuse me. So that's all, basically all the old rough and those spaces that are really not part of the old course itself. The fourth item, though, was to reseed and revegetate the fairways, tees, and greens. And those are pretty expensive items. So those are, I really would almost lump those together, because in the end, if we were to say, and I'm going to go back to this plan for a minute, if we were to say reseed or revegetate anything, we'd do it all at once, right? We'd take this old hole with the tees and the greens, and we do that as a project, or this one, and so forth. We wouldn't do it everywhere, more than likely. So I just wanted to mention that. And then other work I just lumped together, because they're all pretty well lumped together, and that included things like site furnishings, signage, pollinator gardens, the education garden, wildlife blinds, and so forth. So it's really a kind of mix of all of those for the other work. We also asked the Friends of Vistoso Trails Preserve what they might be willing to donate in terms of fundraising. And you can see on that chart on the right that close to 40%, excuse me, close to 60% said no, they would not like to donate and fundraise. And the other 40% said yes. So that's actually a very good, it may seem negative, but it's not. It's a very good average for people that would want to donate. And so in this second area here, most of those donations came in at, you know, suggested values of between $100 and $500. So those are quite substantial donations. Oral Valley should pat itself on the back for the number of people in the Friends that would be willing to donate even more than they donated a couple of few years ago to obtain the old Vistoso Trails golf course. Some of the donation amounts that people mentioned were as high as $25,000. So these are substantial amounts, and again, really, really great results, I think, for Oral Valley. The donations by Project Elements are down here at the bottom, and so I just sort of listed those, but people wanted to donate for the pond, the revegetation, and the cart path to some degree. The second sort of place in those donations, again, were revegetation, the waterfall, and the education and pollinator garden. What these are second and third and fourth and fifth choices for what they see as the top projects, by the way. Sorry, I didn't mention that earlier. The third level starts to include more of the gardens. It's the pollinator garden, again, the pond, the cart path, and then revegetation and seeding. The fourth level that people might be willing to donate for are all of the projects, and again, native seeding. But one that showed up for the first time was the pedestrian traffic crossing, kind of crosswalk at the entrance to Stone Canyon. And then, of course, the pond bulkhead showed up again. And then the fifth level was the pollinator gardens. What I thought was interesting about this was that cart paths, in terms of the donations, cart paths did not reach a high level. It was really about donating to either all of the projects or the pond, were some native seeding and revegetation. The cart path was a much lower kind of level of need according to those who would want to donate. So These are the levels of kind of the ranking for donations. However, if you look at this chart, and I know this is a lot, and I hope it's big enough for all of you, but what it shows, the most important thing, I think, that's on the did someone have a question? Okay. Is the cart path. Even though people are willing to donate money, and quite a substantial amount, $158,000, most of that money they're willing to donate to anything but the cart path. Only $4,300 of the Friends of Vistoso Trails Preserve, Nature Preserve, would want to donate money to the cart path. What that tells me is that most of the people in the Friends would like someone else or the city to take care of the cart paths, and they would be, and then the Friends would be more willing to donate to reclamation, native seeding, all of the projects, the pond, pollinator gardens, some of the traffic control, repairs of the restroom, which is still only a quarter of the total amount for the cart path, by the way, education gardens, and others, which had much lower amounts in the willingness to donate. So it really tells me that most people would donate, but they want to donate for the gardens and the revegetation and those kind of repairs. They wanted to leave the kind of infrastructure of the preserve to others, presumably the town of Oro Valley. I thought that was very telling. In terms of the community-wide survey, again, it just closed, so I don't have too much analysis, but I do think that this was interesting. This is, according to the community, which actually numbered about the same as the Friends. These are their highest priorities. And you can see that native seeding, the pond bulkhead, and the restroom are the top three vote getters for improvements. A little bit different than the Friends. Revegetation, which works in combination with this native reseeding, is really the overwhelming kind of highest priority for people. Other things like site furnishings, signage, the waterfall reconstruction, the wildlife blinds, the pollinator garden even came in a distant second in terms of their desires. And then things like the ADA trails and the outdoor classrooms, the other pedestrian trails, that's the cart trail, and the STEM trail, which was the learning trail for kids, all came in very distant thirds or even beyond thirds. So what I'm reading in this preliminary review of the results of the community-wide survey is that people did do visit the preserve. Community-wide, 82% have visited the preserve and 15% have not. But of that 82%, people visit there regularly. They go there weekly, biweekly, and monthly. They go to specific places, and they go to the entire preserve, and they like to park.
We lost your sound. Hold up.
We lost everything.
We lost your sound, George.
Fairways, and greens were, again, very high on
Mike disconnected.
Hold on, George. And then, are we muted?
Restroom work came in much higher. And I'll go back to this. This is the restroom restoration. So that's very important to visitors, more so probably than Friends of Vistoso Trails. And then last came in the fifth place was the cart path reconstruction and pond reconstruction. Again, these are really preliminary results. We didn't get very far with that analysis because it just came to us But we'll be looking into more of that, and I'll have more data for you at the next meeting, which I believe is a study session with town council. In terms of the costs, we visited with the town engineer. We did our own cost estimate, and we still need to rectify the two. The town engineer was closer to $10 million on his estimates for Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve. We at Site Southwest were closer to $6 million. So we're somewhere in between those amounts. I'd venture to say probably closer to the town engineer's estimates, which are really between $9 and $10 million. So the whole range of costs to improve the preserve would be somewhere in that range. So it's a substantial project for the town. However, to make the trail better, to improve the trail to a point where the washes aren't overtaking it, to fix the areas that are less than desirable in terms of cracks and decomposition of the trail, to remove the pond bulkhead so that it doesn't become a danger because it's so tall, to provide safety signage for those who might use the trail, the old car path, and then the minor earthwork and reseeding that would take, that is right around $500,000. So it's a substantial amount, but much less than the total range. And it's something that probably needs to be done more quickly than later, because it does have to do with safety. And people do visit the preserve, both from the Friends and from the community itself. So I think I've taken at least my 10 minutes. I can either pull up those slides, or we can talk about it. And if you have any questions, I'm definitely happy to try to answer them.
Can we, George? Can you just go over again? Can you hear me?
Yes, okay. Sure I can.
It's Ross. Can you just go over real quickly for us again what that $550,000 for the safety improvements, what that covered?
Sure. So what that would cover, thanks, Ross. What that would cover is getting the cart paths up to a usable condition that is not dangerous. So we counted, I believe there were about 46 locations. Don't quote me on the number, but there were about 46 locations along the cart path that had issues. They were either washed out, those cracks I mentioned, etc. Of that 550, that's the biggest share of that money. Removing the pond bulkhead is the second item that would be covered in that, and that would purely be to take down the old bulkhead that many of you drive by every day, and then to revegetate and reclaim the old pond. Just basically make it safer and take down those hills or the edge of the path to make them into mild depressions along the edge of the pond, to put some safety signage out there so that people stay on the path and kind of mind manners, because people that are using bikes and walking on the existing car path are intermingling. And I can tell you from the times I've been out on the car path, I almost got hit by someone coming by on a bike pretty quickly, pretty fast. And then just minor earthwork and reseeding. So basically reseeding, earthwork and reseeding around where the cart path would have been reconstructed. Was that a little better explanation?
Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, George.
Absolutely, Roz. So, let's see. If you'd like, I'm happy to answer any questions or discuss it, and that's why I'm here.
George, is he too short? Is he still on?
Yes, he's there.
I am.
Can you address a little bit more about the parking situation and how much of the, let's say, $10 million is parking and what's the current parking situation? I know that there's a big parking lot that's going to be developed for apartments, and how will that impact on things? And do they need to build new parking lots, or will they be able to repurpose existing ones, like by the maintenance shed, so on and so forth?
The parking lots are never inexpensive, but the parking lot in the nearest the driving range where the new townhouses or apartments would go will be built by the developer. So that one, which is the biggest one, wouldn't cost much. The other parking lots are really small lots along streets of between 4 to 6 parking spaces. And then the one by the school to the south would be shared. So that parking lot already exists, and there would just be some crosswalks that would make using that lot safe to get into the preserve. So the parking lot costs aren't really high because of that, but they're of some consequence. I'm not going to pull up the entire cost estimate. It's very large and it's very hard to scroll through. But suffice it to say that alone would be a very small part of the cost.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Sorry,
I might have missed this, but how many respondents were there to the community survey portion of the surveys?
Let me look. I believe there were about 600 to that response as well. Hold on 1 minute. There were 489 responses.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So quite a few on the Friends survey. Oh, sorry, that's in a different location in my folders. On the Friends survey, there were 422, almost as much, and we didn't ask people to give their names, so there very well could have been friends that answered the survey for the community. It's hard to tell if there were sort of double counts there because we didn't ask for names and addresses and so forth.
I'm thinking to see you.
Yeah, George.
And I will say that's a pretty good number for a project like this. Typically, if we get responses from communities for projects like this, it might be as high as 10%, but typically it's in the 1 or 2% range. People just, you know, they get bombarded with a lot of surveys and questions and online, and a lot of people just don't respond to them.
George,
Yes.
I have a question regarding reseeding and revegetation.
Sure.
Is there anything pressing out there in terms of erosion and drainage control that you're concerned about at this time? You know, it's been quite a few years. Do you see anything there that is pressing?
My concerns would only be primarily around the pond and the underpass across Highlands from that pond. That is probably the most erosive part of the preserve. I do get concerned about the Bermuda grass that was planted in the fairways and greens and so forth. Because as you all know, Bermuda grass is very hard to eradicate. However, we came up with some ideas in the master plan that I think are still more than valid, that would help to manage that over time. As you know, Bermuda grass doesn't like the shade, and so the more trees we can get out there, the better. But in terms of erosion, Things are in pretty good shape except for those areas. And there may be other smaller areas where people, you know, have cut paths or, you know, something like that. But for the most part, it's in pretty good shape from an erosion perspective.
Thank you.
George?
Sure.
This is Gary Temple. What about the issue of water? Does that come up in the course of... Because I always say that because that was a big issue during the Push Ridge 9 golf course. And I'm wondering if you are having the same issue on this project.
Well, water is always an issue, as you know. And, you know, our supplies are dwindling. I know the town of Oro Valley is doing a great job of managing your water system. And so, you know, there's water for the future. A nature preserve, once it's established, will use very little water because most of the plants, if not all of the plants that are planted there, except for maybe educational gardens or pollinator gardens, won't require much water. The period of time that water is going to be required is that establishment period for those plants. So our idea was to use the old water system for the golf course if it's viable. Hard to say if that's true. And that would be used for some of that reclamation, not as spray, but as drip systems, bubblers, and the sort. So while water is a precious commodity and it should be used sparingly for a nature preserve, that'll be a one-time use to try to get things established in those areas where the fairways, the tees, and the greens were. And, of course, the pond and the old driving range.
Thank you.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Sure. Sure thing.
Chair Temple, can I say something?
Yep.
Just a couple things. This presentation will be made available on the website, the Parks and Rec website. We will put that up there. Also, all PRAB members, you'll receive that survey. You will get it via email to take, okay? So you will get that. It'll come from Casey. I'll make sure she has everything for you. I will also send all of you via email the presentation that you're seeing here, too.
Okay.
I just want to make sure you're all aware.
Sorry. Oh, and by the way, the first two surveys have been closed. So it is what it is right now. And there'll be two other surveys, I believe. Won't there, Roz? There's one for the PRAB and then one for town council and the mayor.
Yes.
Yes. PRAB will be taking a survey and then town council will be.
Okay.
Roz, when you were doing the department report, did you mention something about the Vistoso restrooms? Is that what you were referring to?
Or there are restrooms out there. That's a project that's going on right now.
That the city's already going
yes,
to
that's already
maintain.
It's in action right now. It's
yeah.
going on.
Two restrooms are going to be up very soon.
Yes.
Two of the restroom locations. The third one is not on the horizon, at least not right now.
Just one more question.
The third old restroom, I should say, and it being restored and rehabilitated.
Yeah, George, just one more quick question. You had safety signage. When you talk about safety signage, is that with respect to bicycle speed limit signs or anything like that? Because I agree with you, and I'm a bicyclist. And because that path, there's a lot of blind spots, there's a lot of curves, sometimes you can't see folks, and I was just wondering if there was any consideration of that signage being related to bicycle speeds, whether they're e-bikes or regular bikes.
Yeah, that good question, and that signage would be anything related to safety, so it would... It would ask people, and this is typical. We haven't designed anything at this point, and the town hasn't. But it would give people kind of the rules of use for the whole preserve. Stay on the trails. Try not to veer off of those. bicycles slow down, etiquette for when bicycles and pedestrians meet each other. If there are areas that are under reclamation, for instance, say we take down the bulkheads on the pond and start to reclaim it, there might be signs there that say, stay off of the receding areas. We're trying to reclaim them. Things like that, but really not much more. We're not talking about interpretive signage or wildlife signage or anything like that. It would be more related to what you said, speed limits, stay safe, trail etiquette, that kind of thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
When they're done, the chair can decide when he wants to call the blue cards.
Give the cards.
If everybody else is done, Mr. Chair, you could ask your board if everybody else is finished, and if they are, then you can start taking blue cards.
Finished. Okay. I've got a couple cards. Roy Huff.
Yes, here.
When you talk, please say your name, whether you're an Oral Valley resident, and use your 3 minutes.
All right. Roy Hoff is my name. This is Gerald Brand. We're members of the board of directors of Preserve Vistoso. Preserve Vistoso, as you know, worked very well with the town of Oro Valley to raise money toward the purchase of this nature preserve. We're very proud of that. That's where the 2,000 members came from that got behind this idea. And they are a very... a little bit frustrated group because they just can't wait to get this thing going. And the good news in this whole story is that there is sources of funds and monies from federal and state methods that can really help this. We all get these $10 million numbers and we go, oh my goodness, we're going to have tax increases. You don't have to do that. It's interesting when you try to fund a parking lot or maybe even a tennis court, you better be raising the money yourself. But when you start talking nature preserve, it's a magic word. And there are folks like the Arizona Parks and Trails who have offered us millions of dollars toward these kinds of projects. Revegetation, making things better for the wildlife, such as the pond area. So I've talked to Roz briefly here. And we stand ready to help share some of those people and those contacts with the town because we think it's a great way to fund a lot of these expensive ventures that we want to do. So the folks want these things, but we think we can be part of the solution on how to get this. Our new board, we're increasing the size of our board, are going to include, for instance, the former president of the Audubon Society. And other conservancy companies and people that know how to write grants that are directed to these kinds of things. So we just want to be a helping hand to this committee as well as the town and the council because we stand ready to really help and maybe get some of these projects done ahead of time. We've even got some very, very generous people that live on and around this preserve that want to write big checks for projects. Okay, there's always a few folks out there that got extra money. And they are, the butterfly garden was mentioned, or the cactus garden, as little center areas as we revegetate the fairways, there are people that'll step forward and help us with some of those projects. So thanks for your time. Please reach out to Preserve Vistoso, friends of the Preserve Vistoso, because we stand ready to help. Okay? Any questions? Thanks.
Thanks, Rush. Richard Sorrow Wheel.
Good.
Richard, I'm sorry.
It's a tough answer. I'm a very frustrated resident of the trail system. Okay? I have been to, I believe, every single meeting, and we talked about the same things over. We're talking about restrooms. Two restrooms have been remodeled completely well over a year ago. That was even before the city took over. Instantly they were done. Now, I'm not sure why they're claiming that they're not ready yet, but they're done. I've watched them remodel All the fixtures, all the roofing has been changed. All of those things have been done. The part that frustrates me mostly is the fact that Roy's group, who I was a contributor to, have made a concerted effort to provide the city with information about where they can get grants and help the city get that. But the city won't make up their mind what they want to do. Why don't you just either do say we're going to do the cart path, period, and then say to Roy, go find some money. Or we're going to do something with the pond and go find some money. There are funds available to the city for countless number of things. But we've refused to take advantage of it because we refuse to decide what we're going to do. The other thing is we want to talk about the water issues. Everything on that course, when it was a golf course, is reclaimed water. So it's not like we're using fresh water to fill the pond or do whatever else. Secondarily, there are some major security issues on this golf course or on this trail. Because you can find, I live right off the eighth hole, and from time to time at night, there are pickup trucks that go through. Okay? Now, there are roughly four areas along the Stoso Highlands Drive that you can drive your car through and go all the way around the golf course. There's two right at the gate by Sedona Canyon. You can either go right or left there. There's two on right by the pond area. And I don't understand why something's not being done up. This is a security issue for the city. Now, it doesn't take a huge amount of money to fix that. If you drive along the golf course, you can find boulders the size of this podium, okay, that with a skip loader could be picked up and plopped right down the sidewalk where the driveway is. City doesn't have to spend one penny other than the labor cost. We have four areas that have excess. Now, they try to fix some area right by the pond. After they put a small boulder, they stacked up some rocks. But they don't understand that a big pickup truck can drive over those 6-inch high, 3-inch high?
Go ahead and wrap that up.
Okay. All right. But anyhow, I think the city needs to make a decision on do something. All I can attest to is the fact that we have signs and garbage cans. That's it. Thank you, city, for those.
We have no more cards. If anybody wanted to speak, now's the time to get one filled out, or we're going to end the public discussion.
Okay, we'll end the public discussion.
Internal discussion, Mr. Chair.
Anything from the board?
Another question, and following up to the Preserve Vistoso points. In addition to trying to get grants and so on and so forth, would there be any value to trying to, and I hate to be commercialization here, but to sell naming rights to various things, like if people want to sponsor, not just give the money, but potentially name it?
To whom a tool is, right?
Yes.
Chair, that discussion part's done. I'm sorry, sir.
I thought I was answering his question.
No. They don't get this. It's a weird thing about meetings. Now it's their discussion. Sorry, sir.
So potentially naming rights and maybe other ways to raise money that involve the public, like, for example, selling bricks somewhere. Whether I don't know whether we've covered all those various things, but, maybe there are other ways to be creative about how we can get more money for this other than just asking for handouts. Bill, have there been any incidents security-wise that you're aware of that have created problems?
Roz?
Go ahead. So the thing that we're looking at right now is areas where vehicles can get onto the property. So we've mapped out some areas, and I've been out there. So we're looking at that.
But there haven't been any incidents to date?
Not that I'm aware of.
I can correct that. There are motorcycles that run behind my house.
there have been some entry of vehicles.
There have been, Mr. Saleta. I live on what used to be the 12th hole, so I know what everybody's talking about. I poured some money on this, too, so I understand.
So that, just a follow-up question, is Oral Valley Police taking any action with respect to that?
If the police call when that happens, they will come out.
Okay.
They will come out every single time you call.
So they are going to respond to those types of things if they're informed?
In Oral Valley, they respond to every call.
Right.
And I'll attest, Mr. Saleta, they showed up every time I called them. It's just difficult to locate a Yamaha 125 with a 15-year-old on it. It's gone.
So how do we prevent that?
It's very difficult.
So we can't.
Policing it. And, I mean, can you block some of the entrances? Yes, but a dirt bike can still get through that. I mean, because a regular bicycle can fit through that.
Sure.
So those are some of the difficult things that we have to have help with policing that from the neighborhood as well.
Yeah, I mean, we had a similar issue. I live up there also in Centerpoint. We had issues with people driving into the pool area, and you have to put rocks and things, you know, obstacles in the way. I think that's a valid point. It's probably the best you can do.
Is George still available?
Yes.
I was just going to mention chicanes also work for keeping bikes out of areas like the preserve. And really, most of the perimeter of the preserve is a perimeter that's made up of yard walls. So there are only a smaller number of places where some kind of access control could help. But chicanes are those entries that have a series of logs and fences that require someone to go around them to get into a space. So they are designed so that it inhibits almost totally the use of a motor or getting a motorcycle through them. Some of the new electric bikes, yeah, they'll probably be able to carry those through. But other than that, motorized vehicles would not be able to get through them. So just a few thoughts.
George, Raz, I have one question for you. Early on this project, there was some issues raised about the path, maybe widening the path for the purpose of having bicycle traffic use that. What happened to that? I thought it was a good idea.
That actually would be a phase beyond the safety phase that I mentioned in the costs.
Okay.
So that idea of widening the cart paths with a gravel path is still in the plan.
Good.
Thanks for asking that. Yeah.
And what is the path actually like going to be made out of? I mean, where we're fixing it.
It would be made to match the existing cart path, so it would be concrete. If it were pigmented like the original cart path, the cost is a slightly higher, but that's the type of path we envision for the safety rehabilitation. For the gravel on the sides of the path, of course, that would be some kind of earth-toned gravel so that it blends in. And we found that 4 inches depth would be the best depth for kind of keeping other plants down as much as possible from intruding on that path. But that gravel cost wouldn't be inconsequential. It's a pretty large figure as well because it's a very long path.
Any other questions or comments?
I have one more. Okay. When we're reseeding or you're doing the, whatever they were called, the landscaping, not the tees and all that, but for the cart path, isn't there certain, how much space on each side of the cart path are they leaving free of vegetation? Is that something that's going to...
happen so that, you know, since we won't have the widening path right away? That's where I'm going.
See your question. Yep, I get the question. Typically, we like to have any kind of vegetation at least 4 feet away from the edge of the path. And that way, it's easy to keep tree branches, bushes, and so forth, bush stems and the bush itself out of the path. So there's a traditional setback from the edge of the path that is between 2 and 4 feet. And the reclamation for the reseeding would be pretty minimal for the cart path itself. If the two gravel trails were built on either side of the existing cart path, that will increase the expense, of course. And taking out some of that vegetation to meet those setbacks would also be part of that.
Any other comments, questions? Okay. Close number four out.
Chair, Mr. Chair, we need a motion.
Do we need a motion on this?
This one says discussion and possible action to recommend. So we need a motion, a second, and a vote from you.
There's no recommendation, Joe. I think the direction from RISE, there'll be a survey that'll go out to the members. So I don't think there's a...
The item has actually got a recommendation on it. They could move to continue it, but it says... This possible action to recommend that council approve the future Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve survey and its impacts on the future Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve and Master Plan.
So if we don't take action now, we can table it.
Mr. Chair,
well, you can
Mr.
take
Chair,
action.
What's staff take, recommendation that we do right
you
now?
You can take action that you accepted the survey, you accepted the presentation that was presented.
So we're going to have us staff recommend to hold it. Carry it over.
Mr. Chair, you need to come up with a motion. It's approve, deny, continue, or table, or whatever you want to do with this item, or accept the survey if you want a motion to accept it, but nothing's going forward at this time, apparently.
Okay. So we should make an motion to accept it, but not necessarily. It says here specifically that council recommend council approve the approve it.
No, recommend approve the survey.
Right.
So it's not acceptance. Okay. My suggestion at this point from a legal standpoint is you table it until you get everything you need before you can make a recommendation.
That's fair.
And then that's entirely fine. So, just
that's
motion
the legal
second.
Recommendation.
Table it.
Staff, what does staff want us to do, to do technically?
What I think you need to do is you've accepted the survey results. You're going to take the survey. And submit those, and you'd recommend that the council at least consider the survey results that have been presented by George, and so that's really the clear, really from here. You're not recommending a master plan because you've not been presented a master plan. That part of the process will go to the council. So really, it's you've received the presentations. You're going to do the survey, and then you're forwarding it on to the council for more further consideration.
I would move staff's recommendation to accept the survey.
I second it. All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay.
I'm asking you. I don't think we have all of the survey stuff. It matters. But
so you've moved to accept 4-1. Done.
I know we voted, but I just want to clarify one point.
I
agree with what Joanne is saying here because we still have data out there. Mm-hmm. But when I made my motion to accept this, it was with respect to the work that's been done to date. Mm-hmm. If there's new work that comes up,
I agree.
I understand what Joanne is saying here in terms of the other work that needs to be followed through on.
Who who's going to word this thing properly.
Mr. Chair, you've already taken a motion, yeah, second, and passed it.
Yeah,
okay.
We're on number five.
And on number five?
Yes.
Made me think that the rest of the
agenda item.
Thank you all.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, George.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So is our additional motion, Joe, that it has to be addressed here besides tabling it?
Mr. Chair, you've already moved and approved acceptance of the presentation.
Deal.
That item, you're finished. You're on five.
Okay. All right. Number five of the regular session agenda is a presentation about the community's effort to create the next 10-year plan known as Oro Valley's Path Forward.
It's on my laptop. I don't think this is synced with mine.
If you go to the website for the
She said it's not all on there.
No, she sent. Melini sent the packet. Not the.
It's
so it's not on here. It's
do you
want to
sync? Do you want to type in? Do you want to go to yours? I tried to sync it, and then we ran into difficulties. So
okay,
oops,
gotcha.
I'm going the wrong thing.
Mr. Chair, you might want to take a break while I try to set up your next item.
Sorry, this mouse is really fun to break. So good luck with it.
Oh, you've done it before.
It's laggy.
I'm senior planner with
the Oro Valley.
Nice to meet you. No, it's okay.
And do you want this at the podium? Whatever you want to do, it's fine with me.
You said you're from Seattle?
Yeah.
My son lives in Seattle.
Oh, really? So we were just
moved there.
Oh, did he not from here? Was he in New York?
Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Originally from the East, but. Job in Seattle.
Yeah, so we were about 30 minutes east of downtown. So we were, I don't know if you know, Issaquah area. Do you? Yeah.
It's at the festival.
Seven days.
Yeah. Passing through there, I'm like,
what is
days.
Happening? Yeah, it's an amazing area.
Yeah,
it's just born and raised kind of in Greater Seattle and Washington, and I just could not do any more of the clouds. It's perfect. Like 3 months out of the year, there's just nowhere better in the country. But the rest of the time, it's not worth it.
So new to it, so he doesn't mind so far.
We had enough. I'm so glad I wouldn't have traded my childhood. All of our families are here still for the most part, so that's our tactic because we get to live here, and then in the summer we do the river snowball, so we go back for a month of summer.
The biggest thing is here.
Spend time there.
End up here? Is it just because it's
honestly, yeah, we were looking at, I mean, we're big outdoors people, so we wanted somewhere close to mountains. We still wanted, you know, mountains and trails and all that stuff, but just nicer weather so we can do all that stuff more often. We also run and bike. We do all the things. I have a kid, you know.
That's what I told these guys. You know, everything you guys
I've experienced it all, yeah.
Like, you're not fully. You know, I'm on the trails, I'm on this, I'm on that.
Yeah. Same. Us too. Even the event, you know, the farmers market.
Oh, that's her.
All, you know,
she's
all
just not all
of it.
That's what I meant.
That was
Yeah.
I had a very specific.
Yeah, I didn't know it was Melini, so I was like, don't say Melini.
My husband's job is
Melini.
So we moved. I think there's about 12 states that his company has like a presence in that we could live in. You know, that they have legal status or whatever. So we kind of had our pick of a lot of different
that's a good thing.
I had a very specific checklist of like what I wanted in the community, and it just checked pretty much all the boxes here. So yeah, we're so happy. Excel sheet. Oh yeah, we got the Excel sheet.
We're gonna retire, like, you know, all these different cities, like it could be this, and
yeah.
Like, went through the whole thing, like check, and Tucson was really high on the list.
Yeah.
Since we got to Tucson, it's like, okay, so we're in Tucson.
Yeah.
Was like, checked on boxes.
And that's the thing.
I mean, the fact that they have the state park.
Yeah. So the main project manager
there's
left.
No traffic. The trailheads are all, you know, there might be, you know, snowbird season, a lot of cars in the lot. But the trails are still mostly empty. Once you get, you know, a mile from the visitor center. Yeah. You can get to a trailhead in 10 minutes. So. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It makes me nervous, though, because I feel like it's an undiscovered gem. You know, I feel like, I feel like 10 years from now.
I go to some of them.
I feel like the East Coasters go down to Florida. You know, I feel like they exist on that coast.
Yeah.
And Washington comes down to Arizona. Yeah.
They can have
it.
Yeah, West Coast of Florida is pretty nice.
Because otherwise, they're going to,
which is where all New Yorkers go.
Yeah. I've never been, but my husband's like, I'm going to go with the Natch, because that was one of the states. I'm like, that's
too much.
Back to order. We're going to bring the meeting back.
There's coffee or anything.
Right.
Bring it back.
You're fine. Come on.
Okay. This is the, again, this is number 5. Path forward. This is a presentation about the community's effort to create the next 10-year plan known as Oro Valley's Path Forward.
And so introduce yourself, Renee, please. Thank you.
My name is Renee Olvera. I'm a senior planner here with the town of Oro Valley, and I'm here to give you the little update on the community's effort to creating the 10-year plan for Oro Valley's Path Forward. All right. So the first step in this effort was to create and adopt a community engagement plan to use as a guide to make the plan as accessible, inclusive, and transparent as possible. And using it as a guide, so far, we have been able to collect 1,170 online contributions and 1,736 in-person responses. And these numbers continue to grow as more opportunities to participate become available, especially right now with the big community survey. We're also releasing some less important topics for discussion, and we're having weekly events all around town. All right. So right now we are still in phase 1, which is primarily community outreach. So we want to meet people where they are in the community and wherever that may be. So that could be at community-wide events, sports practice, or even local businesses. We do this to bring awareness to the importance of the plan and to get community members to engage, share their ideas, and pretty much update the values and the visions that Oro Valley wants to see in the next 10 years. The end of this phase will create the foundation of the plan. So it's important that everybody gets involved now and participates now, because this plan will affect everybody's, an aspect of everybody's quality of life. All right, and here's a small map of the events that we've done and how far we have gone into Oro Valley and different things that you can find out there. They give you a little bit more information about us or what we have done. So we have plenty of ads, articles, podcasts, 43 posters. We have the big roadway signs. I don't know if any of y'all have seen those yet. Those are all around Oro Valley. and just a lot more things that all this is online that you can also kind of take a look at what we were doing there or what, why they're there, the things that we have up. So the community engagement plan also calls for participation to be easy, fun, and meaningful. And online engagement really allows us to hit these three goals. Along with the 1,170 online contributions, we do weekly social media posts on both Facebook and Instagram. OraValleysPathForward.com has so many tools that you can use, including discussion forums, we have mapping tools, we have polls, giveaway games, and now the big survey. We have also been out and about in the community. We have participated in 33 events. These events range from going to Honeybee Trailhead to Stax Book Club, Starbucks, and Ironwood Witch High, and different places like that. And the events keep coming, so it's been really a really great time getting to know Ora Valley. So as we continue to gather online contributions and in-person contributions and responses to the three main questions, this is what the community has said so far. So when asked, what do you like best about Ora Valley? They say, Ora Valley is friendly, clean, and safe. When they are asked, what should Ora Valley be known for? They reply, beauty, views, outdoor activities, and kindness. What are the biggest challenges in the next 10 years? Managing growth as it relates to traffic, water use, types of housing, and having more retail and restaurants. So, join the conversation today. Right now, taking the community survey is really important. Hits all the topics. Anything you have ideas about, this is the best place to give your feedback. You can also find comment cards all around town, and so the events will keep going on until like end of May. June it'll start to slow down, and then we'll pick right back up in August. But yeah, online opportunities to participate are always ongoing any time of the day. So yeah, visit obpathforward.com and follow us if you want instant notifications. All right. Any questions?
Just how much citizen participation have you had so far? And do you think it's been a reasonable number of folks that have been participating?
Yes. So we have been tracking residents versus non-residents who are giving the responses. And right now we're at 71% of the responses are done by Ora Valley residents. And the number keeps growing as well. So,
thank you.
Any other questions? I need to close this out.
You can move on to the next one. These aren't public hearings, so there's no closing necessary, Mr. Chair.
Got it? Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Number six on the agenda, this discussion of community center financials. The floor is yours, David.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to welcome our new members this evening. I don't know what I need to do to get bumped up in priority on the list. I think I need to pay someone, but I don't know who to pay. I keep getting stuck behind CED and their presentations, so I'm going to have to talk to Paul about that, or I don't know what I'm going to do, but anyways, that's a joke. But anyways, I'd like to present quarterly financials for you this evening. As I mentioned at the last meeting, which I believe was in October or maybe November.
It was November.
Yeah, yeah. It was November. Okay, so one of the things that we're trying to do is bring more financial information, especially as it relates to the community center, golf activities, et cetera, and bring that to this board and provide more education and status updates as to how we're doing financially. And so that, you know, we kind of started that in November. So this is kind of the second installment of that. And this is kind of a good time to do it as well, because we're midway through the fiscal year. So we're about at that midpoint here of information. So pretty current, and I'll kind of dive into the presentation here. So what I have for you is included in your packet. I don't know if we can make that larger. I've got my readers on, but it's still a little bit small, probably for some folks. But
let me see if
let's try to.
There we go.
Yeah, it's much better. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, so just as a broad overview, I have good information for you this evening, and that's not always the case, but it is the case this evening. I always like bringing good information. So if you look at total revenues here, basically, you know, we're midway through the fiscal year. Really, the important thing to kind of take a look at here is total revenues, about $4.87 million collected through December. Total budget, fiscal year budget of about $9.7 million. And you look at that actual versus budget percentage, 50%. So we're right where we ought to be from a budgetary standpoint and total revenue collections. If you compare actuals versus, current fiscal year 24 versus last fiscal year 23, you see a good healthy increase there from about $4.26 million. To about $4.87 million. So again, good information there. Our year-end estimate, about $10.6 million, exceeds what our budget is at $9.7 million. So almost a million, $900,000, almost $1 million increase over what we budgeted. So that's all positive, good stuff. Diving down into the uses there, and those are really the outflows out of this fund. We're seeing again that about a little over $6 million compared to a $10 million annual budget. So that's at 60%. So that's running a little bit hot, a little bit higher than what we anticipate. You know, normally we'd like to see that in closer to 50%. But we're sitting at 60% there. But if you compare it to actuals for the prior year, we're actually a little bit less than where we were at this point in time in the prior year. We were at 6.2. Now we're at basically 6.1 million. So about $100,000 less from comparing to the prior year. So nothing all that unusual there. And then looking at our year-end estimate, we do anticipate about roughly a $400,000 increase over budget. And that's primarily due to personnel and utilities costs that we're seeing. We had a very dry first 6 months of the year, and so that spiked up some water utilization, which increased costs on our utilities for golf purposes. Fund balance down at the bottom, kind of the high level view there for the fund. You see there in the budget, I'll highlight the budget there, fiscal 23-24 budget. We actually budgeted about a $450,000 deficit for this fund. And this is where the good news really comes into play. Our year-end estimate, where we anticipate to end up at the end of the year, actually a $5,000 surplus. And so you can see, again, kind of that summary at the bottom, beginning fund balance. We brought about a little over $1 million in. You add $5,000 in. We're about $1.1 million estimated ending fund balance. So, again, very, very positive results there. Very, very good news from our budget. So next page, we'll kind of dive into some of the details of what's going on here behind the numbers. So if we can kind of scroll down to the next page. The next page kind of provides more details into the revenues. So local sales tax revenue, We're at about $1.78 million in collections. Last year at this point in time, we were at 1.72, so we're outperforming last fiscal year there. Total percentage compared to budget, we're at 48%, so not quite 50%, but we are anticipating that by the end of the year, we'll be about $60,000 higher than our budget in total local sales tax collection. So don't really feel like there's anything of concern there. Things are pretty much right where we want them to be. Moving down to the kind of the second half of that page, we dig into contracted operating revenue. And again, very positive results here, especially compared to last year. Last year was a good year for us from a revenue standpoint that our contractor brought in. We were at about $2 million. Well, we're almost to $2.5 million through the first half of the year. So very, very positive results there. Compared to budget, we're at 53% already of budget. So we're outperforming our budget of $4.6 million. And then our year-end, that's impacting our year-end estimate there of about $5.2 million, so about a $600,000, $700,000 increase between our year-end estimate and what our budget is. Yes, we have a question.
Sorry to ask mid-presentation, yeah. But just to clarify from my understanding, is this the entire Parks and Recreation budget, or this is specifically the 18-hole golf course in the community center, or what else?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the question. Yeah, so this is not our entire Parks and Recreation budget. This really is our community center fund budget. And what we did was we established this fund when we acquired the community center to basically account for the operations of the community center, which includes tennis and swimming and some different recreational amenities, but then also the golf. Golf operations. And so that's really what's encompassed here in that fund. It shows all the inflows and the outflows related to community center and golf.
Okay.
So hopefully that,
so I could add, I mean, if you wanted a whole Parks and Rec program, there is general fund dollars and there's also capital dollars too. So
I just wanted to make sure I understood what we were looking at.
Yeah.
It's not all Parks and Recreation programming, even.
Yeah.
It's
right. Yeah. It is really more
physical site.
Right. Yeah. More focused on community center and then golf as well. That's correct. Okay. Next page. Keep scrolling down here. We'll talk about the town operating revenue. Again, good news here. We're outperforming where we were at this point in time last year, pretty significantly, by about $140,000. And then compared to budget, we're already at 51% of budget. We're seeing very good, very strong utilization of the community center and the amenities, to that facility that that the town operates. So year-end estimate there, almost $1.4 million versus about $1.2 million budget. So we're anticipating about a $200,000 increase over what we budgeted. So very, very strong results there for town operating revenue. And then other revenue, the big thing that you see that's driving this, we anticipate that we're going to, again, exceed budget here. We haven't received received any HOA contributions through December. So that's really the main driver there. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that 13%. That'll all resolve itself by year end. So, yes, another question.
What do you attribute the good performance to date, really? Is there one single factor that you would say is driving that?
In terms of if you're referring to the town operating revenue, we are just seeing strong membership growth and strong utilization all around. I don't know if Roz wants to jump in there, but it's
our numbers continue to increase, which is phenomenal. We just keep watching that every month. We have these numbers and they just keep going up. So it's utilization, it's people enjoying what we're offering them, and it's the facilities that we have.
Has somewhat coincided with like the community center. I know they did some updates with equipment and aesthetics and stuff like that. Has the timing been in alignment with that at all?
It's been pretty steady the last few months. When I look at the performance measures that we do right now, it was pretty steady of the percentage that's going up. It always goes down a little bit in the summer. It'll go up when snowbirds get here. So it's cyclical, but it's it keeps going up.
We know whether, I know the Silver Snickers came up before, do we know whether that has any positive impact in terms of incremental revenue, or is that just basically people who are already members are taking advantage of this offer?
So what I can tell you is about overall with all of our health memberships that we have, there's probably a little over 1,000 of them, and I would say half of them are new, and half of them went from paying members to now they are benefited by their health insurance. Mm-hmm. So you're still looking at approximately half. I don't have the exact number, so I'm just kind of quantifying it a little bit, but about half of that.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on those programs, how we actually get paid?
We keep track of attendance, and then we have to send in, and every person, we have every person listed, and if they attend or not, and that's how that works.
I bill them every
month. Yes.
Do. They with their little key fob ins, that's how we know, and we get paid by the visit. Mm-hmm.
Right on. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll just keep rolling through here, scrolling down. So that kind of deals with the inflows to the fund. Now we'll kind of deal with the outflows here into a little more detail. Here, the contracted operating expenditures, you see personnel about $100,000 over where we were at this point in time last fiscal year. So, and 52%. So personnel is running a little bit hot. But we do anticipate that, and that's impacting our year-end estimates. So we do anticipate that we will exceed budget by about $90,000 in personnel for our contracted operating expenditures. And when I say contracted operating expenditures, we're talking about Indigo, who's our golf contractor. These are their costs.
And what about the tennis? Don't they have? Is that also?
I don't believe tennis is included. I think they just run golf
Indigo
operations.
Indigo doesn't manage golf.
No, I mean, tennis. I know you have a contractor who runs tennis as well. Where do their numbers come in?
Those would be in the town operating expenditures. So this really is specific to Indigo's numbers. Okay. Yeah, good question. Mm-hmm. Food and beverage, positive results there, outperforming last fiscal year by about to the tune of about $50,000. 60% of the budget already, these are expenditures. So we are over budget by about $50,000. We do anticipate, and 60% of the budget consumed through December. That is, again, impacting our year-end estimate there, where we're going to be over budget by about $75,000. So, you know, when you look at the outperformance with revenues, sometimes it has an outperformance or a impacts your cost structure as well. And so that's really what we're seeing there. Operations, O&M, operations and maintenance. Yes, question.
This may be a question for Roz and you both. Food and beverage, how do I put this diplomatically? Do you feel that we're using that structure to the best of our capabilities? Because I've always had the contention that when you play golf there, if you're not done by 3 o'clock, there's no food and beverage. And I was just wondering, why we can't think about hiring someone to look at that from a food. Because they're doing a good job, but I don't think that's their core business. I'm talking about Indigo.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Mr. Chair. What I can tell you is food and beverage was a challenge prior to Indigo becoming the golf contractor.
Yeah,
we established a very performance-driven, performance-laden contract with them that we had clear council direction that food and beverage needed to at least break even, and so. So there's some incentives there in their contract that has to be at least profitable. If it's not profitable, they eat the losses. So I would say they're doing a very, very strong job compared to the prior, when we were just under the full Troon name. I know Troon's, since has acquired Indigo, but we have not seen the same challenges. They understand what the goal of council is. And they've structured their model to be in alignment with that goal. So I would say yes, given the constraints that they have with the location and what they're trying to do, they've done a good job.
Okay.
And it's in the if you look at the incentives, I'll take it even a step further. If you look at the incentives that we've had to pay Indigo over the last couple of years, they've all been related to food and beverage because there's strong incentives for them to at least keep the town breaking even, if not profitable, on the food and beverage front. So, I would say that, you know, given the constraints, I'll just reiterate, given the constraints, they're doing an excellent job. So, operations and maintenance, again, running a little bit hot there, and I mentioned earlier, that's primarily due to utilities. I mean, there's some other things going on with inflation and things as well, but primarily due to water consumption with the courses over the first 6 months of the year, because it was pretty dry. So about 59% of budget consumed. We're thinking that that's actually, and this is in our year-end estimate, we're thinking that that's actually going to recede over the second half of the year, because January and February have been a little bit wetter, a little bit more moist, and so we're anticipating that that will go down a little bit. And then leases just are what they are. The leases reflect some of the new equipment that we've, or actually, these are golf leases. So there's some new equipment and that they've purchased that have been leased. That's reflected here, and so that's what you see there on the increase. Going down to town operating expenditures, personnel again running a little bit hot compared to last fiscal year. Definitely see an increase there of about $90,000. Compared to budget, we're about 49%. And so, again, this is really a product of a function of the strong utilization of the community center. You know, with more utilization, there needs to be better staff, more staffing to handle that. And then the year-end estimate, we did do have that at about $1.19 million. So that, you know, as we're running a little bit hot with the personnel, that's impacting that estimate to be over budget. And then O&M, that actually we are actually seeing some savings there on the O&M side compared to last fiscal year. But when you compare it to budget, we're still at about 53%. So overall, if you look at the operations, their total operating expenditures, we're at about 50%, so about where we need to be from a budgetary standpoint, even though looks like things were a little bit hot on the personnel side. You see it's kind of offset on the O&M side when you compare it to 2023. From a budgetary standpoint, we're right where we need to be there on the cost side. So keep scrolling down here. We'll kind of dig more into. I'm not going to go.
Question.
Yeah,
there was a list before about capital projects.
Yes,
there. I was wondering why are the Vistoso Trails projects in there?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So, Mr. Chair, Member Weisberger. So the idea here was that we had some. The town council decided to kind of reduce the restrictions on our local sales tax utilization when we issued the $25 million Parks and Rec bond issuance a couple years ago. And in so doing, we kind of expanded what the sales tax, that half-cent sales tax, could be utilized for. And so as we've had these needs crop up, that we decided to include the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve in this fund. Now, whether it's included in this fund or it was included in the capital fund, if it was included in the capital fund, we'd just be transferring these reserves out of this fund in the capital fund and really accomplish the same purpose. So, but good question. It really goes back to, back to the point of that half-cent sales tax used to be really restricted on community center and golf. And then when we issued the $25 million Parks and Rec bond issuance, we removed those restrictions to all Parks and Rec type amenities. So that's what's going on there.
Thank you.
I'm not going to get into this because this is just a lot of detail. These are our contractor. This is Indigo's financial statement. We've kind of already hit on that, so I don't really feel the need to go into too much detail there, but we'll go into the next. Keep scrolling down to the next page there, and hopefully you can rotate this to landscape view so we can see it a little bit better. Maybe increase the size a little bit. I got my cheaters on, but I'm still having difficulty reading that. So this was a report, again, that what we're trying to do here is really show all the investments the town has made in the golf operation from its inception. And so you see, and it's really split out by 36-hole Push Ridge and then food and beverage. Because that's how our golf contractor reports it. And I think they're all, very critical or interesting pieces of information to understand. So, as you'll recall, even at the last council meeting, one of the items that came before council was the Push Ridge Golf Course and whether we were going to keep it open or what, or convert it to some other utilization, what we were going to do with it. We decided to keep it open. If you can, if you'll notice, Push Ridge is actually, from an operation standpoint, this is really looking at it from just a kind of a more purely operational perspective, not taking into account capital, that kind of that top box there. But Push Ridge has actually been profitable over the last couple of years from an operational standpoint, versus if you look at the 36 hole, it hasn't. So Push Ridge really has, if you want to think of it this way, has really offset some of the operational type losses of our 36 hole courses. And the reason why is because Push Ridge is closed during the hottest months of the year, close about five or six months out of the year, and then it opens up during the busy seasons from roughly November to May. So that's what's going on there. And then again, if you look at the restaurant or the food and beverage, again, very strong results there. Fiscal year 21, we had a net operating profit of $8,400, going up to almost $41,000 in fiscal 22 to $128,000 in fiscal year 23. If you look at the years prior, fiscal year 20 and back, those are all negative numbers and pretty solidly so. So really quite a turnaround there. The delineation there between pre-agreement and post-agreement is really when the town entered into HOA agreements with the various HOAs surrounding the golf course, both in Push Ridge and the 36 hole. So we really wanted to provide a delineation there of what was happening, and you can kind of see that after that delineation, you start seeing those HOA contributions coming in at the very bottom, starting with fiscal year 21 at $125,000. Also there at the bottom, right above that line, you see the performance of the half-cent sales tax. It's been very, very positive, just continues to grow as the town has grown, as we've seen inflation also impacting that amount. So very good, lots of good news there. The other thing I'll kind of highlight, a couple things actually, the capital investments. So the town has made some significant capital investments. These are all really related. This is a golf spreadsheet. It's a golf analysis. So these are all the capital investments the town has made from acquiring the courses, from the inception of acquiring the courses moving forward till through December of 2024. So pretty current here, December 2023, fiscal year 2024. So pretty current here. You can see those increases in fiscal year 2022 and 23, and then current year to date. Those are all really driven strongly by the golf irrigation improvements that we made for the 36-hole courses. And then the cumulative totals there, important information. Again, you see the operating profit or loss, overall operating loss of about close to $11 million from inception. And then we had an additional almost $9.5 million in capital investments plus the $1 million initial purchase. I need to highlight that $1 million is not just the golf course, but it also includes the facility of the community center as well. So you have to keep that in mind. But all of that really, offset by the half-cent sales tax. So that half-cent sales tax certainly accomplished what it needed to. And then we leveraged that into the $25 million Parks and Rec bond issuance, which is providing additional amenities for the town at Naranja Park.
Yes. Question. So the HOA contributions are not included in the P&L, right?
Correct. It is not. Right.
And the agreements we have there, are they, you know, are they firm agreements that as long as the course remains open, they're obligated to pay a certain amount?
So yeah, so a good question, Mr. Chair, Member Weisberg. They are firm agreements for 5 years. So they sunset after 5 years. We're, you know, as we're into the process, this is about 3 years into mm-hmm. it. So we've got 2 more years of collections there that are available to the town. Yeah, good question. Thank you. And then... let's see, I think scrolling down, again, kind of a more general analysis here, really meant to highlight or intended to highlight the cyclical nature of golf. Golf certainly has its challenging months when it gets really hot and no one wants to play. And by the way, it also consumes a lot of water, so that drives up costs. Versus the profitable months. And so really what you see here is, again, and I think I mentioned it at the last meeting, but November through April, really kind of the sweet spot, I'll say, or sweet months where golf really turns things around, becomes profitable. The other months, we kind of, you know, starting out the fiscal year, it's a little more challenging, July, August, September. It's hot. It's you know, there's just not, you know, kind of a difficult environment. But then, you know, snowbirds come in October and things just kind of naturally turn around there. So so, you know, I think again, kind of the I'll just wrap it up by saying so far we're having again another positive year overall for the fund for golf operations. You know, we did kind of start out, council provide direction to only bring about $1 million into this fund, you know, and that was, the purpose was to take some of the excess reserves and utilize those in the capital fund, transfer them to the capital fund to pay for some of those irrigation improvements. So we do kind of have a negative fund balance that we've been carrying for the first half of the fiscal year. We do anticipate that negative fund balance will resolve itself as we move through January, February, and March, continue to see these positive results, and end up with a positive fund balance of, again, a little over $1 million to end this fiscal year. That's our forecast. So if there's any other questions, I'd be happy to address those at this point in time. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thanks, David. Number 7, discussion regarding community center capital improvement request. Ross, this is your baby.
Okay, thank you. So you have a piece of paper sitting in front of you that I've given all of you for 2024-25 capital requests. I'll try to move a little quicker through this based on time. So these are all of the items that we submitted as the Parks and Rec Department. So important on this. We submitted them, doesn't mean it's going to get approved. The town has all kinds of obligations townwide that they will take all of their projects and prioritize them. So just want to let you know, these are just things that were requested, but please pay special attention. There's also a project at the bottom, which is the community center saunas. So I'll just briefly go through these at the top. We have a CRC is our community and recreation center. In case you're not aware of that, it's the CRC audio system upgrade that would just give us paging capabilities, be able to talk over the intercom and play music. Next, we have 3 different equipment replacements for the golf course. So you will see those. It is a Green Master mower, a Real Master mower, and a John Deere tractor. All of those are beyond their life cycle, so that's why they're on this list. Next, we have, for golf, the Conquistador Lake dredging. So due to the lake, we have a lot of weeds coming up, and so it's getting caught in the pump system. So we're looking at dredging that at the golf course, and hopefully it'll alleviate some of the issues that we're having with those weeds.
Which course is
that? Conquistador. Oh. Yeah. So we're hoping that that's what that's for. We have money set aside for the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve site improvements. So note it says $200,000. Our intent is $200,000 for 5 years and then $100,000 for the next 20. Obviously, council can change or approve or disapprove, not approve it. It's up to them, but I just want to make sure you're aware that that's what is set up right now, but it could change.
What kind of feedback are you getting from Vistosa residents? Have they seen this number yet?
Stuff is public knowledge. It's in our future plans, but these projects are much bigger than
these numbers each year. So it would have to be tiny portions. They talked about some possible grant funding. So there's all those different options out there.
That would be, sorry, that would be money to put towards, like, what people are requesting via the survey results?
Total is $3 million for the whole master plan. Mm-hmm. It's all the projects combined. Like, that's what that totals over 25 mm-hmm. years. Next, we have JDK Park field lighting. This is just the year one is the $50,000 to analyze that and find out if there's any issues so that we could update lights the year after. But that is a huge ask the next year, which is $2 million. Next is the steam pump branch shade structure replacement. Some of you are aware that a vehicle last year hit our shade structure. So we are getting quotes on that right now, different options. And then we have to go back to the county and we have to talk to the Historical Society. There's a lot of people and there's the farmer's market that comes into play also. So all that will have to go to council and I will have to request funds if it's this year or next year. We have that dollar amount set aside, but the really nice ones are coming in a lot higher than that. We have the CRC men's jacuzzi area. So if you've been in the CRC, it's the area where we have hot tubs basically that are closed off because we would need to have a lifeguard sitting there 24/7 when we're open. So those are closed off. What that would do is renovate that area and make accessible outside bathrooms, different bathrooms, each gender, for camps, people using the tennis courts. If we had tournaments after hours going on still, they would be able to use those restrooms and access that from the outside. You wouldn't have to come through our facility. The last thing, there's a repair for the saunas in the CRC. So we have a sauna, a dry sauna. Think of the wood surrounding rooms that you sit in that went down. So there's one in the men's restroom, the men's locker room, and the women's locker room. So the men's one went down first, and it all has to do with our electrical system. Our building is just that old that we would need electrical redone. The high cost isn't in the new sauna piece. It's in the electrical work. So we're talking about approximately $60,000 between the two due to the electrical work for the most part. You know, you're talking, and that's probably 15 of it is the actual saunas, the actual piece of equipment. So what I'm looking for on this is just feedback from you on what you think. We've told all new members, no, there's no sauna. It's not advertised with it. There's no sauna. The members that we had before, we had less than 20 complaints is what staff has told me, and we refunded two people for what was left on their memberships. So what I'm looking for is feedback from all of you as to your thoughts on this and how to progress moving forward, whether this is a project or it is not a project. Those rooms could be used for storage is another option, which we do not have any of.
Is there, being in that you mentioned the electric work for the building, entire building is really old and maybe, in, I guess, would this electrical work benefit other aspects of the facility? Does it in general need electrical work that would service other parts, or is that specifically electrical work only for that tiny part of the building?
What we were quoted was for the saunas to repair the electrical work. Like right now we have the elevator work going on and they're dealing with any electrical that they have issues with, mm-hmm. if there are any.
So the electrical work would not benefit any other?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
It's just specific to that area.
Right. They have to rerun the electric and then to get the new saunas and stuff.
You sense a strong feeling about this issue in terms of, oh, yeah, I really want it.
I do not. We have a survey out right now to our members, but the response rate is really low for the number, you know, the number of members that we have. So I don't know if it's really going to be a number that's of value to tell you what anyone feels of the saunas.
Well, at $60,000, you would need a lot of incremental members in order to pay that back. Mm-hmm. So we probably won't pay it back if we do it. It'll be, you know, a nice to have. But I think you already answered the question by saying we've refunded two people and nobody's currently sees it. I think you've almost answered the question to say it's really not particularly necessary.
I never have heard. I use the community center all the time. I've never heard anyone say anything about the saunas. So that's just my personal opinion.
Given this long list we have, we pretty much get the things we really need instead of the things that are nice to have.
Yeah. I would say no at this point.
No. We need a motion.
There's no motion to be had on this. We're kind of taking consensus.
Okay.
Yeah. And the consensus of what you feel, because okay. if council were to ask, then I'm able to tell them that what your feelings were, what your feedback is.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I need.
Do we need to somehow prioritize within this, or is that not an issue at this point?
No, we've already sat down with the town manager, the assistant town manager. They're looking through all of those and based on their funding that they have. Mm-hmm. So, and we wrote up all kinds of backup for each one, and they'll make their decision from there.
Mm-hmm. Number eight and final one, discussion and possible action regarding the Parks and Recreations Advisory Board in the upcoming 50th anniversary events organized by the town.
Okay, fun one to end on. looking for what type of participation you guys would like to have for the 50th. There are things like you could be in the parade and we can have a town truck pull a flatbed that's decorated for you with seating on it, if you were interested in that. If you're not, that's fine too. That's what we've got going on. We have that. We have the other events. But that's the first thing I thought of for you guys was if you the parade, you'd be there 9 o'clock. You'd be over by 10:30. We have to be a little earlier than that, but because we have set up and we have to get you in there. So just any type of comments you had regarding the 50th.
Are we going to have one of the big mowers in the parade?
That wasn't the plan.
Well, I was thinking about this one for $125,000. That should be in the parade.
I think that would be fun.
I agree.
Just me.
I agree.
I think that would be, like, I mean, would it just be Parks and Rec, or would we be able to put maybe... I don't know if the other advisory boards would
like
want
HPC?
To join.
Yeah. HPC had their last meeting. I'll have to look at the notes from that meeting. Okay. I don't think they said anything about the parade. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, just an invitation mm-hmm. to other boards, too. Mm-hmm. I would think so. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a fun idea. I don't...
Mm-hmm. I think... Do you mention your... Like, as far as, like, parade registrations are coming along, like, does there feel like there needs to be a little more parade in the parade?
Yes.
Because I'd be happy to volunteer
yes.
my wave for that.
Entries in the parade.
Yes. Yeah. We are looking for more entries. Okay. I know that council is pushing for more entries as well. Mm-hmm. So we've put it out there. We're putting out, you know, press releases, anything you can think of to try to get some more people involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd be happy to volunteer that. For that,
you guys get to actually make
a motion.
As long
as it's not just
this is a discussion of possible action. You guys get to say, "Hey, let's do a float or not."
Okay. I hear a motion.
I move that we attend the parade on the back of a flatbed truck.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
You have a float.
That include the mower.
Well, the mower can pull the float.
We'll decorate that for you guys. And we'll send all the information out. You'll get everything from Casey.
Just a side note, we don't want to use $100,000+
no.
mower.
No. So do you have any other events that you need volunteers for? Or?
We're working on tables right now for our big event on the weekend after that, the 13th. Another thing, and that's groups, there's different things that we're setting up. We're really working on those details. There's also a tree planting on the 27th, which will have a call out to the community for tree planting and where it's going to be located. So anyone who wants to join in, our staff will have already dug the holes. They're going to come out, residents, members, put the trees in, cover it up, take a few pictures and stuff, just so they could be a part of that 50th anniversary planting of trees, and that's something to remember moving forward.
I've got the time, Roz, so put my name in.
Okay. Okay, we'll let you know. We'll send everything out to you, where those tree plantings are and stuff. Moving forward down the line, you're going to look at, it's going to come to you for renaming Lambert Lane. It's going to come for a recommendation to go to council. We're also going to have something regarding a mural on the... Aquatic Center.
We're into the next meeting's reports.
So, well, that'll all be on the next ones. Those are other 50th events.
Okay. All right. I think that ends it. There's no further business. I'd like to make a motion to adjourn it at 8:11 on the 20.
Second.
Okay. I second.
Second.
You can vote or you don't have to. I think this meeting's over.